Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hope you're having a great Monday so far. Beautiful morning out there if you're in Michigan, and pretty much the same the rest of the country. 877-573-7825. Looking forward to chatting with you today and every day here on Catholic Connection. Coming up at 8:15, we want to take a look at the idea of telling your story. And I was thinking about this over the weekend that I had completely forgotten because of all the news, the breaking news day after day with COVID. I forgot to look at closely the beautiful World Communications Day message that our Holy Father put out a few weeks ago. The statement, or the day, is actually in January on the Feast of St. Francis de Sales, but it's celebrated later in the year in May. And this year's is really cool. It's about telling your story. And I think how appropriate, in the midst of everything we're going through right now with so much civil unrest and uncertainty and things with coming out of COVID and so much confusion. I mean, all of a sudden, nobody's talking about social distancing anymore. COVID's off the front pages, yet it's still a concern because we know what we're going through in the churches. We're trying to do our best to protect people, and yet other people don't even seem to be paying attention anymore. Not to mention the fact that so many people coming out of COVID and all of these issues with the terrible death of George Floyd, there's just a lot of uncertainty and shakiness. What is going on in the world? And the protesters who are trying to be out there peacefully making a statement about racism and police brutality, their message is hijacked by those who think that violence is the answer. It's just the world's topsy-turvy right now, and you're going, okay, what's going on? Well, I think it's really important to encourage those who are struggling, and a lot of us are right now, by sharing your story and looking back on your own life of how God has written His story on your heart and the difference He's made. To remind folks that there is meaning in all types of suffering and things that we go through, and you can accomplish that encouragement, I believe, if you just share what the Lord has done in your life. Not telling people that you have to do this, that, or the other thing, but, you know, Dr. Mary Healy did an excellent interview last week with Al Crest. I don't know if you heard it, but she was talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, right after Pentecost, obviously. And she was talking about building relationships with people, and that while our doctrines are key and are crucial and we don't, you know, take a watered-down approach to them, the doctrines are not going to make any sense to people unless they understand who Jesus is. When they say that yes to Him, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience, and when you fall in love with Christ, then you are saying, oh, I get it. So I'm putting Him first in my life, and this is what He says is necessary, so I'm going to listen. And I'm going to crack open all these things in the church that have been with us for 2,000 years that I pretty much ignored, didn't even know existed, and again, speaking for myself, because this is what Jesus has given us in the church over 2,000 years. But this is exactly what is spoken of in Unleash the Gospel, Archbishop Vigneron saying that you have to start with relationship. And one of the ways to do that is by just sharing your story. It depends on the circumstance and where you are and whatnot, but I want to read, and it's fairly quick, so I'll read the Pope's World Communications Day message. That's what I love about these messages. They come out again, as I said, each year to mark World Communications Day, which is something that started after Vatican II. And every year there's a different message about the media. And so the church is approaching this with using the media wisely to tell your story. Everybody's got a story about what God has done in their life and it continues to do in their life. And I think that's crucial. And speaking of stories of another sense, my friend Vanessa Denhagarmo is going to be joining me at the bottom of the hour. We have just about had it. No, I think we're over that. I mean, we are so done with the secular media bias. Never seen anything like it in my life. And I want to talk about something that is just unbelievable, even for the New York Times. The Gray Lady has lost her way. Well, she lost her way a long time ago. But this latest story that came out just the last couple of days and really developed over the weekend is just off the charts. the head of the op-ed page, the editor of their op-ed page, quote-unquote resigned, and from what I'm seeing, it was more of a firing, but they're calling it a resignation, because of an editorial that he allowed in the paper by a senator who was saying that things are so out of control that maybe the president should bring in the troops. Okay? So that was an opposite opinion, obviously, of the newspaper. But that's what op-ed pages are for. They oppose the opinion of the editorial staff at any given publication, and that's why they allow an op-ed page to exist, so you have opposing views. Well, not anymore. The article by, or the op-ed piece by the senator apparently was so offensive to some employees that several of them said they weren't going to come into work. They basically had their own in-house protest. And as a result, the editorial director was basically let go because they said he was using bad judgment. The editorial page editor. When the whole idea of an op-ed page is to have differing points of view. Do you realize how crazy that is? It's just off the charts in terms of we cannot have any divergence. Everybody has to think alike. Everybody has to march in order. There can be no separation in what we say. You take it, even if you don't agree with it, you have to go around and speak it. So much for the First Amendment, and so much for being open and not being closed-minded. So we'll talk about that with Vanessa. And the other story that's really bothering us, well, that story has pretty much disappeared, as I mentioned. Where's COVID? Where is it? Even my nephew, my godson, was saying to me the other day, Antri, you like did news your like whole life practically. Well, what's going on? I don't see any stories in the paper. Nothing about COVID. It's disappeared. Why aren't the media raising these questions? Aren't they concerned, and I know I am, for the people who are out there exercising their First Amendment rights, the ones who are trying to do this peacefully? There's a difference between protesting and causing damage and destruction. But I would be very concerned, and I am concerned for all those people, because of what we've been told about COVID and the fact that it's so contagious. And why is no one asking our own governor, Gretchen Whitmer, why she was protesting and not practicing social distance when she was walking with people? There's an image of her, and she's wearing a mask. Okay, fine. But she's surrounded by people that are no way, shape, or form 6 feet apart. And several of them were not wearing masks. So what does that mean for the rest of us? And what does it mean for the people who do want to, and again, it is their right, and they should be able to go out there, as we all should, and raise concerns about particular issues, especially racism and police brutality, both of which still exist and need to be addressed? Yet, aren't they concerned about these people? Because now the numbers are starting to go down, thanks be to God. We're opening up again, thanks be to God. And what's going to happen? And I believe Dr. Fauci came out and said that he's very concerned about this. Health officials are speaking out, and their voices are getting out there slowly, but they're not making the front pages. And you pick up stories here and there. But this whole issue now of COVID seems to be ignored. So was it as bad as it was supposed to be? Does it not apply anymore? Why are there different rules for different groups? These are all questions that should be asked by the media, as well as concerned politicians. And nope, all of a sudden, another story replacing it. Not that what we're talking about now isn't hugely important. I'm not saying that, so please don't misunderstand. But there's a big discrepancy here, and part of the reason we have a media, this is what our founding fathers set it up as, in order that we keep a check on power and ask questions and make sure there's a balance. And that is not happening in so many areas. So we'll talk about that with Vanessa Denha-Garmo. Lewis Brown is going to be part of a very, very important discussion online. And it's going to be actually June 8th, which is Thursday. Oh, no, that's today. What am I thinking? It's already today. Wow, June 8th. Getting ahead of myself. And it's tonight. And he is going to be a guest on, it's at 6 o'clock tonight, June 8th, 6 o'clock, A Catholic Moral Response to Bigotry. And Lewis is the executive director of Christ Medicus Foundation. And he's also going to be joined by Monsi Alvarado, executive director and vice president of Beckett Law. They'll share their reflections on the killing of George Floyd and the protests and riots, in addition to their own personal experiences regarding race and how it's influenced their lives as Catholics. In addition, they'll discuss discriminatory response by some government leaders against people of faith. Thank you, Lewis, during the COVID-19 lockdowns, and how we as Catholics can best evangelize our communities during this anxious time. So it's going to be an important event tonight, folks. I'll give you the details on how you can register. That is tonight at 6 o'clock, and Lewis is joining us. He's one of the guests, and that's going to be a great, great webinar. Again, 877-573-7825, and then we're going to be wrapping up with Gail Buckley this morning, and she's a beautiful scripture verse, but you have to stay tuned to find out what it is. It's always good. I mean, every single verse in scripture is something that we can apply to in our lives, but Gail always picks ones, I think, that people struggle with a lot, and she just breaks it down for us. She's a convert to the faith and runs Catholic Scripture Study International. Sunny day out there right now in the Midwest. We're going to see highs anywhere from the mid-70s to the low 80s. It is a perfect, technically not summer day because it's not summer on the calendar yet, but it sure feels like it. Get out there and enjoy it and be safe. Already 8:11, so let's take a look at what's happening in and around the world on a Monday morning. Pope Francis says the Holy Trinity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is a single plan of love that saves humanity and the world. The Holy Father, speaking to several hundred worshipers gathered in St. Peter's Square yesterday on Trinity Sunday, Francis says in his brief talk with Nicodemus, Jesus presents himself as he who brings to fulfillment the Father's plan of salvation for the world. The Pope saying the world is marked by evil and corruption, adding that men and women are sinners, saying God could intervene to judge the world, to destroy evil and castigate sinners. However, instead, he loves the world despite its sins, adding God loves everyone, even when they make mistakes and distance themselves from him. Vatican City is coronavirus-free. The Vatican saying over the weekend the city-state no longer has any active cases among employees. The last of 12 people to come down with COVID-19 tested positive in early May. On Saturday, officials say the last person to be reported sick has recovered. Vatican museums reopening to the public on June 1st. Advance reservations are now required. Visitors must wear masks and their temperature checked at the entrance. Parishes within the Los Angeles Roman Catholic Archdiocese are celebrating Mass in person again for the first time in more than 2 months. Parishioners attended Mass in person yesterday. Churches in California are being allowed to begin reopening following the coronavirus shutdown. However, no more than 100 worshipers are being allowed to attend under social distancing requirements mandated by the state. Mass is still being streamed live. In other news this morning, reporter Matt Madison tells us the Minneapolis City Council planning to dismantle their city's police department.
A 9-person majority pledged to defund the department following the death of George Floyd in police custody. Minneapolis City Council President Lisa Bender said it's clear the existing system of police and public safety is not keeping people safe. The council is planning on investing money in community-led public safety. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey said he is against this move.
New York City is moving some funding from police to community programs. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the money will shift to youth and social services. He didn't say exactly how much of the department's $6 billion budget would be transferred to social programs. The mayor announcing other police reforms following days of protests over the death of George Floyd in Minnesota. Among the other changes is bringing in community ambassadors to the MPD. He also wants more accountability for police misconduct. Acting Homeland Security Chief Chad Wolf is no fan of calls to defund the police.
It makes no sense to me. I think it's a very political statement to make, but it does not protect our communities at the end of the day.
The idea to actually defund the police has been put forward by, as you heard, some protesters as well as elected officials around the country, including local and state politicians. The white former Minneapolis police officer charged with the murder of George Floyd goes to court for the first time today. Derek Chauvin arrested after he knelt on the handcuffed black man's neck for more than 8 minutes during an arrest on Memorial Day. Chauvin is charged with second-degree murder. And protests continuing across the country and around the world over George Floyd's death 2 weeks ago in Minneapolis. Tens of thousands filling the streets in Washington and cities coast to coast in mostly peaceful demonstrations against police brutality over the weekend. The protests have spread to major international cities, including London, Paris, Berlin, Sydney, and Tokyo as well. Mark Mayfield tells us that President Trump is reacting to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's recent admission he was wrong for not listening to the players who spoke out about racism.
Last week, Goodell shared his opinion after several prominent players released a video asking the league to support the Black Lives Matter movement. On Sunday, Trump called Goodell's statement interesting and asked if it could be even remotely possible that the commissioner was signaling it would now be okay for players to kneel during the national anthem, a move that Trump said disrespects the country and flag.
Attorney General William Barr doesn't believe law enforcement is systematically racist.
There's racism in the United States still, but I don't think that the law enforcement system is systemically racist.
Barr specifically citing advances in the U.S. military when it comes to race.
Since the 1960s, I think we've been in a phase of reforming our institutions and making sure that they're in sync with our laws and aren't fighting a rearguard action to impose inequities.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Barr did admit he understands a distrust among African Americans. Most Americans think things in the country are out of control. An NBC News Wall Street Journal poll finding 80% feel things are out of control, while just 15% say things are under control. An overwhelming number of Democrats agree at 92%, 78% of independents, and 66% of Republicans say things are out of control in the country. The chief economic advisor for Allianz admitting he is shocked at the most recent good news when it comes to the jobs report.
I was very surprised. This will go down in history as the biggest positive data shock for the markets and the economy.
However, on Fox News Sunday, Mohammed El Arian said that relaxing and thinking the economy is rebounding all by itself is the worst thing we could do right now, and that could happen. The Labor Department saying 2.5 million jobs are added last month, while the unemployment rate fell to 13.3%. As many as 400,000 people are going back to work today as New York City begins a Phase 1 coronavirus reopening. Retail shops can open for curbside pickup, and construction and manufacturing plants can come back to life. New York City has finally hit all the metrics laid out by the governor to reopen, including the number of new infection rates that are currently at the lowest they've been since March 16th. And for the first time since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, restaurants across the state of Michigan can begin reopening today. Under those reopening guidelines, restaurants can fill to 50% capacity, and groups must remain 6 feet apart in dining rooms. Meanwhile, the new number of coronavirus cases and deaths continues to decline across the state of Michigan. And what was once Tropical Storm Cristobal, now a tropical depression, weakening as it moves inland, but it's still dumping a lot of rain on the Gulf Coast. Meteorologist Bill Cairns has the latest update.
It's now over land, it's weakening, but it's still going to be a big rainfall threat, maybe even a few isolated tornadoes during the day today. A lot of the heaviest rain bands have now moved northwards into central Mississippi, one band approaching Montgomery, Alabama. The winds aren't a big deal. We're not going to see any wind damage.
The storm sustaining winds and blowing at 35 miles an hour. Heavy rains and storms surging are threatening communities along the Gulf Coast from southeastern Louisiana to the Florida Panhandle. 818, it is a Monday morning. Hope you're doing well. Our phone number is 877-573-7825. And no better time. Well, every day is a good day to share your story of what God has done and continues to do in your life, especially now when so many people are looking for meaning, are confused, and wondering what in the world is going on. Well, as I like to say, God is still very large and very much in charge. And as the Pope said yesterday, he said that, well, you know what? God knows what the world is. He understands what's going on here, and he could intervene to judge the world, but he loves us, so he gives us this gift of free will in hopes that we will accept the invitation to turn to him. And if you've done that, why not share about it? No time like the present. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Teresa Tomeo. Did you know that if it wasn't for your generous donations to Ave Maria Radio, that Catholic Connection would not be available? That's right. This program would not be available for WDEO and WMAX, but also Catholic Connection would not be available for the more than nearly 400 Catholic radio stations around the country. So you can see how your partnership is a huge gift, not only to those of us here in Michigan, but to millions of Catholic families around the nation and the world. All the funding for the production and initial distribution of this program and all the other wonderful shows from Ave Maria Radio comes from you. But the only place we can fundraise, the only place we can talk to our listeners about our partnership is on Ave Maria Radio stations, WDEO and WMAX. So thank you for your support of Ave Maria, and click that donate button or go to the app.
You don't think it'll happen to you twice. First, it was a fire. My agent was right there and helped me rebuild. Then the tornado destroyed everything again. Both times, my independent agent and auto owners took care of me like someone takes care of family.
For whatever lies ahead, we're always there. Auto Owners Insurance.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200. Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan is here for you during the COVID-19 health crisis. Their qualified mental health professionals are here to listen, so call them at 888-271-2350. Their free hotline is open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Again, call 888-271-2350 because they're committed to serving those in need in our community. For more information, go to ccsem.org. Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan, providing help, giving hope.
That's how it starts. You ask God into your heart. You ask Him to write that story on your heart. But then you don't just let it sit there. You have to share it. Go into all the world and preach the good news, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yesterday was Trinity Sunday, a big mystery. But also we know that man was made, as Scripture tells us, in our image. Let us make man in our image. Right? And we have to remember that. And then when we allow God to write the story, we go out and tell our story. We don't hit people over the head with it, but we can engage in a conversation, and we don't have to tell the whole story from beginning to end. You have to know your audience like anything else, but there are moments that come to us, especially now when there is so much upheaval, where people need to hear the good news, and the good news about what God has done in your life. And that's what I've done with my new book, Conquering Coronavirus. And by the way, on Wednesday night in my talk, we're going to be looking at, I believe it's chapter 4 or 5. I lost track. But it's all about not a new normal. I'm so tired of hearing this new normal. But our associate pastor at St. Joan of Arc, on which this chapter is based, Father John Benton, did a great homily in the beginning of the whole pandemic about let's go back to the old normal. And in some ways, in many ways, we were forced to go back to the old normal, spending more time together as a family, eating more meals together. A lot of the activities that took us away from each other and God were taken away from us. And so what are we doing with that? And what does that mean? And what does that mean for our story as a Catholic family in the home, in the domestic church, but also in the world? So how are you going to share your story? Have you been sharing your story? The World Communications Day message from Pope Francis, the 54th World Communications Day, was released last month. And the actual day is on the feast of St. Francis de Sales, patron saint of journalists, which is in January. And the scripture that the Holy Father chose for this message is from Exodus 10, verse 2, that you may tell your children and grandchildren. Life becomes history. He said, I would like to devote this year's message to the theme of storytelling, because I believe that so as not to lose our bearings, we need to make our own truth contained in good stories. Stories that build up, not tear down. Stories that help us rediscover our roots and the strength needed to move forward together. He says, we can weave stories. Human beings are storytellers. From childhood, we hunger for stories, just as we hunger for food. Stories influence our lives, whether in the form of fairy tales, novels, films, songs, news, even if we don't always realize it. Often we decide what is wrong or right based on characters and stories we've made our own. Stories leave their mark on us. They shape our convictions and our behavior. They can help us understand and communicate who we are. He said, we're not just only beings who need clothing to cover our vulnerability. We are also the only ones who need to be clothed with stories to protect our lives. We weave not only clothing, but stories. The human capacity, the Holy Father says, to weave gives us not only the word textile, but also text. The stories of different ages all have a common loom or thread of their narrative involving heroes, including everyday heroes who, following a dream, confront difficult situations and combat evil, driven by a force that makes them courageous, the force of love. By immersing ourselves in stories, we can find reason to heroically face the challenges of life. Human beings are storytellers because we're engaged in a process of constant growth, discovering ourselves and becoming enriched in the tapestry of days of our lives. Yet since the very beginning, our story has been threatened. Evil snakes its way through history. And then he talks about, of course, Genesis. And he says, not all stories are good stories. The temptation of the serpent introduced into the fabric of history are not difficult to undo. If you possess, you'll become, you will achieve. This is a message whispered by those, even today, who use storytelling for the purpose of exploitation. How many stories serve to lull us, convincing us that to be happy, we continually need to gain, possess, and consume. We may not even realize how greedy we've become, or how much violence and falsehood we are consuming. Hello. Often on communication platforms, and V and I are going to be talking about this, instead of constructive stories which serve to strengthen social ties and the cultural fabric, we find destructive and provocative stories that wear down and break the fragile threads binding us together as society. By patching together bits of unverified information, repeating deceptively persuasive arguments, sending strident and hateful messages, we do not help to weave human history, but instead strip others of their dignity. In an age when falsification, the Pope says, is increasingly sophisticated, reaching levels, we need wisdom to be able to welcome and create beautiful, true, and good stories. We need courage to reject false and evil stories. We need patience and discernment to rediscover stories that help us not to lose the thread amid today's many troubles. We need stories that reveal who we truly are, also in the untold heroism of everyday life. And isn't it true that we've so many heroic stories, especially when COVID first began, about what was going on, how people were stepping up and doing what needed to be done? And then he wraps up by talking, of course, about the story of stories. Sacred Scripture is a story of stories. How many events, peoples, and individuals it sets before us shows us in the very beginning a God who is both creator and narrator. Indeed, God speaks his words and things come into existence. As narrator, God calls things into life, culminating the creation of man and woman as his free dialogue partners who make history alongside him. And he says, the title of this year's message is drawn from the book of Exodus, the Bible story in which God intervenes in the history of his people. When the enslaved children of Israel cry out to him, God listens and remembers. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Jesus, he says, spoke of God not with abstract concepts, but with parables, brief stories taken from everyday life. At this point, life becomes a story, and then for the listener, story becomes life. The story becomes part of the life of those who listen, and it changes them. And he wraps up by saying, the history of Christ is not a legacy from the past. It is our story and always timely. It shows us that God was so deeply concerned for mankind, as we heard in the gospel yesterday, for our flesh and our history, to the point that he became man, flesh, and history. It also tells us that no human stories are insignificant. Since God became story, every human story is, in a certain sense, a divine story. In the history of every person, the Father sees again the story of his Son who came down to earth. Every human story has an irrepressible dignity. Consequently, humanity deserves stories that are worthy of it, worthy of that dizzying and fascinating height to which Jesus elevated it. You, St. Paul wrote, are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So he wraps up by saying, With the gaze of the great storyteller, the only one who has the ultimate point of view, we can approach the other characters, our brothers and sisters who are with us as actors in today's story. For no one is an extra on the world stage, and everyone's story is open to possible change. Even when we tell of evil, we can learn to leave room for redemption. In the midst of evil, we can also recognize the working of goodness and give it space. So it is not a matter of simply telling stories such as of advertising ourselves, but rather remembering who and what we are in God's eyes, bearing witness to what that Spirit writes in our hearts, and revealing to everyone that his or her story contains marvelous things. In order to do this, let us entrust ourselves to a woman who knit together in her womb the humanity of God, and the gospel tells us, wove together the events of her life. For the Virgin Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let us ask her for help, who knew how to untie the knots of life with the gentle strength of love. It's a really beautiful message, and it was actually given on January 24th, on the memorial, of course, of St. Francis de Sales, and in the days actually celebrated in May. But the year of 2020, the message is, that you may tell your children and grandchildren, from Exodus 10:2, and then life, of course, becomes history. And it reminded me a lot of what Archbishop Vigneron says in his Unleash the Gospel letter, talking about the encounter with Jesus. Evangelizing aims to lead others to life-changing encounters with Jesus, with the result that he becomes the Lord of one's life. An encounter is a person-centered form of contemplation. It is two people being present to each other with no utilitarian purpose. For some people, the encounter with Christ is cataclysmic, Damascus Road kind of experience. For others, it's more gradual. In either case, encountering Jesus is like meeting the person you are going to marry. You are overwhelmed by this encounter and cannot imagine going forward in life without that person. The Christian life becomes not just one, but a series of encounters with Jesus, especially through prayer and the liturgy, which continually deepen our relationship with him. Preaching in catechesis, or telling our stories in our local church, must foster, the Archbishop says, such encounters, especially by explaining our love relationship with Jesus as a purpose of the liturgy. Wherever possible, we should invite people to respond to Jesus by surrendering their lives to him and give them concrete opportunities to do so. So this whole idea of we encounter Christ and then we share it with people, we tell our story so they can encounter him as well. People need these stories, right? The stories of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, nothing else is going to make any difference or make any sense without a relationship with Christ. So let God write the story of your life on your heart. Write his story on your heart, and then you go and tell your story to others, especially now. We'll be right back. Catholic Connection in the news with BNT, Vanessa Den Hagarmo and Teresa Tomeo. One of the stories that struck me over the weekend was, I had to read it twice. I thought, is this some sort of a satirical thing? Now, we all know that the great lady has lost her way, as I said at the top of the hour a long time ago, that she's very left-leaning and has been for many, many years, and very problematic, the stories that they put out there. Sometimes they just throw all kinds of things against the wall to see what will stick with no factual basis. I don't know what the Holy Father was alluding to in his communications message for World Communications Day that we just read earlier. But this is just off the charts, because an editorial page, an op-ed page, is supposed to allow for differing opinions from the editorial team of a particular publication. So you bring in a different voice to have a different voice. And so just recently, within the last few days, The New York Times announced, actually yesterday the final announcement was made. There was a lot of a scuttlebutt and discussion about this and some very unhappy people at the Times before this actually happened, the final action. The New York Times announcing yesterday that the editorial page editor, James Bennett, is resigning amid reports of anger inside the company over the publication of an op-ed from Senator Tom Cotton about the George Floyd unrest last week. Bennett, the brother of a 2020 White House candidate, Senate candidate Michael Bennett from Colorado, had apologized late last week after previously defending the piece titled Send in the Troops. Now, the senator from Arkansas, a Republican, called for the government to deploy troops as a last resort to help quell riots with what was going on in the streets. Well, apparently the story, the op-ed, it was, again, an editorial. It sparked literally a revolt among Times journalists, with some saying it endangered black employees, and some staff members called out sick late last week in protest and later announced the Times that a review found the piece did not meet its standards. And then all of a sudden, the editorial page editor resigned. Now, V, to me, this is off the charts in terms of extreme bias. I can't even, this is an editorial page. The whole idea is to have differing opinions.
Yeah, I mean, I can't put my head around that. And the fact that it got escalated to this level, to the point the person resigns because somebody wrote something you didn't agree with. And from a credible source, this is not from a non-credible source. And I understand that editorials, they review editors' notes all the time. I mean, your op-eds, that I've written op-eds for clients. I've co-written them. I've helped them flush them out. And we know that it's our opinion on a particular topic that people are not going to all agree with. That's the whole point. It's an opinion. Oftentimes supported by, you know, people do share facts in there, which is great and important. But how this escalated to this point, I mean, this is insane. Now we can't even have an opinion. But we have seen this happening in social media. You have an opinion that, you know, certain people don't agree with, and you're attacked to in an insane level to silence you. This is all about silencing people they don't agree with.
Right.
You're allowed to have freedom of speech as long as it's the speech they're giving out.
Right.
And if it's not their speech, you can't say it. And that's what's happening. It's every day I'm on social media because I have to for work, and I really have decided to limit myself because I can't take the hypocrisy anymore. Mm-hmm. But this happening in a major newspaper in the United States of America, that we can't have opinions anymore, should bother everybody.
Right, right. What is so frustrating in this story is that Senator Cotton blasted the Times because they misrepresented, in addition to having this whole protest in the newsroom because they disagreed with the editorial, they said he totally misrepresented his message in that editorial. He blasted the Times through a tweet that he said misrepresented his argument, specifically that he supposedly called for military force against protesters in American cities. He said that is false and offensive. I called for using military force as a backup only if police are overwhelmed to stop riots, not to be used against protesters.
Yeah.
If the New York Times has any decency left, they should retract the smear. So not only were they against the editorial, they took it differently and they totally misrepresented it to the public.
Yeah, because they want to tell a narrative that supports their agenda. And that's what's happening in America. I mean, that's what's unfortunate with some media outlets and some news reporters, is that if the narrative doesn't support their agenda, they don't want it out there.
Right.
And that's the problem, is they're trying to manipulate the general public to believe something is true when it's not. And look what was happening. Listen, I'm all for protest. I was all for the protest up in Lansing that got highly criticized by Governor Whitmer and said, you know, who, you know, said, you know, bad people, you know, now I'm going to have to extend the home order because you guys went up to Lansing to protest. And so, you know, that wasn't okay. But the protest all over the country that got violent was not being denounced. I mean, I don't, you know, that is a problem. I mean, why is a peaceful protest in Lansing, even though they carried guns, highly criticized? But then when people start looting your own city in which you work, is not, you don't say anything about it.
Well, why are there concerns of spreading the virus, which are very legit, for only one group of people, the people that, with whom
yeah.
you disagree? Because I understand if they're, and they were saying day after day, they were telling us how contagious it is, and we have to be careful. And she even accused the protesters of basically putting people at risk health-wise that they probably added to the problem by spreading the disease.
Well, that's why she extended the stay-home order.
Right,
she was on
right.
The View the yeah. very next day saying, I'm going to have to extend it because of these protesters in Lansing because of the highly contagious virus. And now we don't hear boo about the virus.
Right,
where
right.
is the virus? Did it disappear? I mean, I think it's
and
comical.
She herself was out there protesting. She
exactly.
was wearing a mask.
And
she was
social.
Walking next to Michael Duggan, the mayor.
Yeah.
He was wearing a mask, the mayor of Detroit. But she was not 6 feet apart. And there were people very close to her, probably literally touching her shoulders because it was so crowded. And
yeah.
they were not wearing masks and they were not 6 feet apart.
Absolutely no social distancing. And then I'm actually much more alarmed that she has not called out more of the violent protests. I mean, I'm all for protesting, but looters, vandalization, destroying businesses, breaking windows. I mean, how is that not alarming to any elected official? And I think that was the point of the, you know, the op-ed in the New York Times, is
right.
that sometimes if it gets escalated out of control, we've already had officers killed, Teresa,
mm-hmm.
across the country.
Mm-hmm.
We've had retired officers, officers on duty, officers killed during these protests that got violent in some cities. So why wouldn't that be alarming to people?
Well, why aren't the media, and I brought this up when I did my segment on Sunrise Morning Show with Annie Mitchell and Matt Swaim, why aren't these questions being raised by the media? The questions that we are asking, these are the questions that need to be proposed to these leaders with these inconsistencies. And why is it that the church... Well, how come we're the only ones who are being good citizens, and not the only ones, but you know what I'm saying, in terms of you're saying, okay, you can only have so many people, and we say, okay, we'll follow the rules. And then the rules are different for other groups. I mean, the Archdiocese of New York spoke out and said, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? We get 10 to 100 people, and then you can do anything in other areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you're right, Teresa, and they're not asking those questions because I really believe there's agendas at play, and they don't want to ask those questions because they don't want the answers, or they don't want to put people who they like who are in public office at a point that they're forced to answer a question they don't want to answer. There's agendas at play, obviously. So this is what I tell people, listeners. You have to pose those questions on your social media networks and tag those elected leaders and tag those media outlets who are not asking them. You be that person asking those questions. We have a right to know. We're citizens. We pay for we pay these people. They work on our dollar. They work for us. And we have a right to the answers to these questions. Why is it okay that certain groups have to follow the rules, but the others don't? Why is a protest, a peaceful protest in Lansing, not okay because it's going to spread the virus, but hundreds of people can march in Detroit and that's okay? And obviously, and all of a sudden the COVID, virus went away.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about a second wave. Oh, we got to be careful because we don't want to start a second wave. And our own governor's marching down in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
this is just hypocrisy, and it's offensive. It's like, you know, we're treated like, I feel like I'm living in another country. Like
I was saying that to my husband yesterday. It's so oppressive because you're really trying to do what's right. And you understand that, you know, that this is an unknown. This was a highly contagious disease. We're all trying to flatten the
curve. I respect that. Yeah.
I respect that, too, because you and I have both interviewed enough medical experts to know that this wasn't a fake thing.
No.
But certain people took advantage of it and kept moving the goalpost. But now the goalpost is moving wherever they say it can move. And that's just not right. And who's suffering? Those of us who are trying to be careful and help other people.
Exactly.
That's what's so frustrating to me. The church is trying to be very careful, take care of its own, follow the rules, and everybody else can do what they want.
Yeah.
And
leadership.
And it's not just with the protests. It's with
everything.
It's everything. It's with all these different rules for different groups of people. That make no sense.
And leaders lead by example, okay? When you start seeing leaders, what's right for me, but it's not right for you, that borders on dictatorship. That borders on socialism. I mean, is that okay? Is it okay that there's elitist group out there doing what they want, but the rest of us have to stay in our homes and shut up? That's not okay.
And why aren't they concerned about those who are gathering? I mean, people are very passionate, and they have very good causes that they're out there protesting, especially there's a whole webinar tonight on Catholics and the issue of racism we're going to be talking about next hour. And as you said, absolutely, they should be able to protest. They should be able to gather peacefully.
For sure.
But why aren't the politicians saying, okay, we want you to protest. It's your First Amendment right, but you need to be careful, okay, because we don't want you getting sick.
Yeah, just say that.
How come they're not saying that?
I don't know. And let me tell you something. I posted this on Facebook the other day. Listen, hate comes from the heart, and it starts at the home, and so does love. That is that's the conversation we need to be having. Why is there so much hate in this world? Why do we have so much hate for each other? Why is there so much racism in the world? Why? What's going on? And you know why? Because we don't have God in our lives anymore.
Right.
Because
right.
we took him right out of our life. And the reason people have so much hate, because we stopped looking at each other from the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story we have to be telling. You just talked about Pope Francis telling our stories. Absolutely. Tell those stories about how racism and hate hurt you and affected your life, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Chaldean, Italian, short, tall, overweight, thin, whatever it may be. Everybody has a story where they were hurt by somebody else because it was, you know, hate, you know, involved. Those are the stories we need to tell. And I'm telling you, you have power. Everybody listening, you have a voice, you have power, you have social media platforms. You need to ask those questions Teresa just said. Why is this happening? Tag your elected leader in your area and tag your local reporters and ask them, why is this happening?
I was telling you, I was talking to my nephew and his wife, my niece Erica, and he's the dad of the twins, you know, Liliana and Francesca.
Yeah.
And they're going to be supposedly starting preschool in the fall, but they don't know that they haven't heard anything. And he's going through the papers. He's like, where's COVID entry? You're in the music business your whole
yeah.
life. What's going on here? There's nothing on COVID. Nothing. What happened
yeah.
to it? You know,
yeah.
he's wondering, do I send the girls to school? Do I not? What do I do? And there's no information.
Yeah, it's like the story all of a sudden disappeared. And the fact is, the disease has flattened, yes, considerably, but we still don't know if there's going to be a second wave.
Right.
There's still unknowns to this virus. We don't know if you're truly immune, if you had it, if you didn't have it. We know that people had it and never knew because they were asymptomatic, but they could still spread it. I mean, and we're still getting mixed messages, masks or no masks, gloves or no gloves. I mean, we don't know what to do. What's school going to look like for our kids? Is the public pool safe? I don't know. Are the restaurants really safe? I don't know. I mean, where are those stories? So
exactly. There's so many questions that the media are not asking. They are just going with, okay, what particular groups tell them to do, and they run with the sensationalism and the violence. And, you know, I mean, obviously we know that if it bleeds, it leads. That's still a big part of it. That always was. So they're going to be looking for the most sensational and the most fear-mongering type of stories. That's just, unfortunately, that's just what they do
that's
to sell papers and to get,
for,
right, that, yeah,
even
it's been
when
done
you're
forever.
There, I mean, that's just, that's
right, but at the same time, let's do the follow-up. Let's do the investigations.
Yeah.
And you do have the Faucis of the world. Occasionally a story will pop up where he's saying, wait a minute, this is very concerning to me
yeah,
with all
I was
these
happy
people
to
gathering.
See that. Yeah.
yeah.
Me
Why
too.
Aren't we
I was
talking
happy
about
said
it?
That.
Otherwise, if they don't talk about it, we are left to believe the whole thing was a lie.
Yeah.
What else
yeah,
can
exactly.
you conclude? If it was so important, gotta do this, gotta shut everything
yeah.
down, and then nothing.
Yeah. I know. It's, you know, I have to say I was happy to see this morning Bridge Magazine is doing a follow-up.
They've been doing a great job, by the way.
Fabulous job.
Very balanced.
Joel Kurth deserves all the kudos in the world. This guy is a stellar reporter. He's got stellar reporters on staff, including Jonathan Oosting. They followed up on the nursing home crisis and all the people that have died in nursing homes. And they're backing it up with data and numbers. And, you know, they have been doing a phenomenal job at Bridge Magazine, I have to say, during this whole crisis. They came out with a story. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad. Thanks, Joel Kurth, and thanks, Jonathan Oosting, for telling this story. Because these are relevant stories telling more than just what's going on with the protests. Now, I'm not saying those shouldn't be covered. We're reporters, you know, T. I've covered. I've been sprayed with tear gas, believe me. I know.
I've been in very volatile situations. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep.
I've mm-hmm. been in very scary situations.
I've had my live truck when I was working for Channel 7. I was at one situation. People were rocking the live truck while we were in it. We were
Oh,
surrounded.
That happened to me
yeah.
at mm-hmm. When I was at WJR downtown during the fireworks. It got so violent, you know. There was a big fight that broke out, and people were shaking our trucks, and mm-hmm. we had to call the sheriffs to come help us. And I've been tear gassed at a mm-hmm. KKK protest. And no, listen, I feel for those reporters because a lot of reporters have been hurt during these protests.
Right, right.
They've been attacked. They've been hurt. This is not right. They have a right. You know, I'm all for our Constitution and freedom of speech and telling a story. You know, I'm all for that.
Yeah, but there's got to be
but tell the
same
right
time.
Story.
They have to tell the full story.
Yeah,
and
tell the whole
right
story,
questions.
Tell the balanced
yes.
story, and tell both sides. And
yeah.
we are not seeing that. And it goes back to the whole point of our conversation in the beginning. The fact that you are going to... An op-ed is going to escalate to the level that somebody resigns because you don't like the opinion of another person. this is a problem.
Yeah. What journalism school did they go to, and what did they learn about differing opinions?
Well, we see what's going on in social media. You say one thing, and it's like, it's got to be the worst platform to have a decent conversation. You can't.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
people are constantly attacking. But there's a way you can ask questions. You know, pose a question and say, why is this happening? And tag people to get them to answer.
Amen. Well said, and good discussion. So much more to talk about, which we had more time. Vanessa Denhagarmo, and what's your website, V? Where can we find you?
Listen, find me on Facebook, Communications Coach. Go to my public Facebook page. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and then Epiphany Communications and Coaching.
Thanks again. The news in the news with VNT, and we'll be right back on a Monday. Stay tuned.
Again, so much thanks to our sustaining members, our brand new members, and of course all of you who have recently renewed your membership. We got Brendan and Hannah from Saline, Michigan, Margaret, Flat Rock, Michigan, Thomas and Deborah, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Billy, New Rochelle, New York, home of Rob and Laura Petrie from the Dick Van Dyke Show, Jeremy and Beth, South Lyon, Michigan. You can renew your membership. You can become a sustaining member. Go to AveMariaRadio.net or click that donate button on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Emmaus Health is pleased to announce that through our partnership with Arbor Women, Claire Hall is joining us, a nurse midwife. Claire brings her outstanding expertise to help us expand our pro-life women's health and our pregnancy verification services. In these challenging times, we want the community to know that we are still available to help you and your family. Call 734-930-4020 and ask about our telemedicine option. Visit our website at emmaushealth.org. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare. Emmaus Health.
Do you have a problem with the IRS? The staff at Compesca Tax Advisors are listeners and proud supporters of Ave Maria Radio. They would like to relieve the burden from your shoulders of dealing with the IRS. They'll also donate 10% of their fee to a pro-life charity if you mention this ad when you call. Don't deal with the IRS on your own. Call Compesca Tax Advisors at 800-351-3588 today and sleep better tonight. Stop the IRS freight train by calling 800-351-3588 today.
Myler & Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio programming. Myler & Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500 or on the web at mspccpa.com.
Welcome back. It is a Monday morning, 8:56, June 8th. Good to be with you. Coming up, we're going to be talking about a very important and powerful webinar that's being held tonight, Catholics and the Issue of Racism. Lewis Brown will be joining us to give us his not only perspectives as a Catholic, but as an African-American Catholic man who's dealing with these issues on the front lines. We'll be right back with Lewis and also, of course, Gail Buckley.